Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. We got a wonderful conversation for you today, folks. We're going to get into, you know, how now they're talking about how Donald Trump lost. How can he help this country when he lost billions of dollars in real estate and all this stuff? And something the New York Times in the article fails to mention when he went through that period. Also, I want to get into, let me see here. Hillary Clinton still can't handle the election results. She can't do it. She is still, you know, oh, there's meddling, there's this and that. You know, who is not going to handle the election results? The Republicans and Donald J. Trump. But no. No. Hillary Clinton can't do that. And she's, and now they're subpoenaing today Donald Trump Jr. I love it. They need to subpoena every part of Trump's family, because all it's going to do is people are going to say, wait a minute here. What are they? Okay. Even if you don't like Trump, how is that helping this country? What are Democrats doing to fix healthcare? If it's, you know, they say, well, Trump, he didn't fix healthcare. Okay. Well, what are the Republicans doing? What are Democrats doing? They don't care. The reason why I don't care about healthcare is because they were not a part of it. They were exempt from Obamacare. Don't worry, because Joe Biden and even Bernie Sanders thinks that illegals should be given free healthcare. It's mandatory. They should get it. They should be obligated to have free healthcare, but I have to pay for it. A vet has to pay for it. He fought for this country. When I mean he died for this country, when he came back, he goes down the road. He's afraid to walk because he's afraid he's going to have a bomb or a explosive or something. He's messed up in the head. They come back and they just get crapped on. I got that. I got so much more. I want to get into also the Mile High City, Colorado is going to legalize magic mushrooms, which I think is cool because it's been showing lots of promise with many things, in moderation, of course. But I want to get into that much, much more. I also want to get into all kinds of stuff. What is Manchester United in the end? I want to get into my thoughts on them and moving forward. And there's millions and millions of illegals coming to this country. And what are we going to do? Because it's getting to it's unsustainable. That much, much more. And thank you so much for tuning into the conversation that you're a part of. And Corinthians 7:10. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for this kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow which lacks repentance results in spiritual death. Think about that as you're going through your day today. And thank you so much for tuning into the Facebook Live if you're watching there, and also on Blog Talk Radio, and to my callers listening. Thank you so much for listening. If you got any comments, feel free to shout them out. But what we have in this world is, I'm gonna do this because I'm excited to bring in my guest. Yeah, why not? Because like when we were ending the show last night, my producer, my wife, who's gonna get in here on the video. And she'll be getting here on the audio. She was like, okay, they're expecting like a million plus people coming from Guatemala to come into this country. And it's at an unsustainable rate. How do we solve this problem? How do we, because we can't afford to, because all those people are going to be given health care. All those people are going to be by the Democrats wanting everything given to them. No, they're going to have a place to live. They're not going to be able to work. the sustainable, how do we, what do we do with these people? Because, I mean, I don't believe in having, okay, let's go to Guatemala and let's have a war with their country until they turn into a capitalist country, you know, to where they have freedom
we
like we do.
Can't sustain that either, you know. I mean, we might as well just have them come here and we pay for it rather than send men over there and possibly die and have PTSD and other ailments and whatever happens to our servicemen. Guys, first of all, I want to apologize because this week we did Wednesday, Thursday instead of Tuesday. That was kind of my fault. We had something special. We wanted to spend some time together and do something special. So I asked him to please switch it, and he did. And I appreciate that.
And it's, and she, I want to get into this kind of before, I want to get back to the topic, but she is my producer, and I wanted to really do this story that they've done a, like, 25-year study in France where women who don't wear bras, their things don't sag, and she told me not to talk about it. And I said, okay, I won't.
Oh, my God. And what are you doing? Talking about it.
That's all. How am I supposed to tell the story without saying what I was going to say? But that's all I'm going
to
talk
about. My producer had a topic that I wanted to talk about, but my producer told me how it wasn't wise to talk about it, so I chose not to. There you go.
Well, I'm not going to say any more, but, you know, and it was a fascinating. And she said, no, I wouldn't really, and I respect that. I respect my wife, you know, because a woman's got a mind to change, as the Bacon Brothers said. Oh, that's great. But, you know, getting back to this point that we have.
Well, and we got talking, and the thing is, I have some clients who are Democrats, and admittedly, they're not today's Democrats. They're John Kennedy's back in the 60s and the 70s Democrats in the early 80s.
Yeah, they're a Reagan.
Well,
maybe not.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they are such a class that used to be Reagan Democrats.
Yeah.
So maybe, but yeah, they wouldn't, the ones I'm thinking of wouldn't subscribe to that. And I do have my phone, and I can see comments if you guys do have questions for us. That's why I have my phone with me. Yes, we can pray about the problem. That's exactly one thing we need to do. You know, they say, well, you know, Trump is a racist. He doesn't want illegals over here. And it's like, no. I don't, you know what? I'm not saying that the way to come legally is easy.
No.
One, it's not. Try to go into Russia. Try to go into England. No. It's hard.
No, it's not.
It's not impossible. And, I mean, so we do, I mean, a country without borders, it really isn't a country. If you don't have borders, you shouldn't have walls.
Exactly. I mean, and that's, and so, it's like, well, you don't want these people coming here. How can we sustain this? How can we sustain?
And
because
so, I mean,
I feel bad where they live, but.
Well, honey, let me kind of finish my point.
Sure.
Because I see where you're going, but this is my thing is, like I said, they're John Kennedy's Democrat, but if you bring this up, now to a Democrat, they go ballistic. That's what you do for your country, not what your country can do for you. And that's the thing. We got to think of this country. We got to think of the people here. But we also, we're not the world police.
No.
But we have how many illegals here now? How many, think about it, how many children, U.S. American children go hungry? How many vets go hungry? How many men, women go hungry that are Americans, much less are illegal.
Okay, I want to get into
it. So how can we sustain what we have now and yet make because people come here for the big American dream, that's all great and nice and yippee-yay. But you turn this into Venezuela, Guatemala, any other country. You turn this country into that, then what happens? But we need a realistic, just say, oh, don't come in. See, I'm not opposed to changing the rules for people to come in. But they got to be consequences for coming in here illegally.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, does Democrat mean you're a bad person? Well, I look at it like this. I mean, not necessarily, when you look at like, okay, let me put it to you this way, okay? Democrats control the House and Senate. All they've done is every penny, every dime, every second has been spent to do nothing but try to get Trump out of office. Now they're subpoenaing his son, Junior. You know,
does Republican mean you're a bad person?
No.
Because
most Republicans.
If you're gonna ask if a Democrat, why not ask if you're a Republican? I don't care, quite frankly. I'm not really technically a Democrat or Republican.
I never have been.
I'm an American.
Yeah, I've never been a registered Republican or Democrat.
I don't care about other countries, quite frankly, or other people from other countries. When we got people in this country who are suffering, frankly.
See, I've always considered myself libertarian.
Yeah, we can't be the world's police. Are there reasons for us to go to war? Yes. And there are reasons for us not to go to war. You know?
And we're not the world's police. And that's, you know, and as soon as Trump, oh, here we go, another Republican, another war. I'm like,
the biggest thing.
We're not.
When it's a Democrat taking us to war, okay, we need to go, and it's a noble fight.
Yeah, but if we do it, another Democrat.
And I can only go by history, because I remember when Ronald Reagan and Bush.
Yeah.
When we went to war with them, and just so you guys don't have to ask, yes, I supported every one of those. I believe what Bush did, and I'm talking about with 9/11 and stuff. I believe he should have done more. I would have used the bomb, and I would have bombed more. I wouldn't have cared about casualties. I wouldn't have cared about civilians, women, children. I would have just, they wouldn't have been on. Iran would have been gone. Libya, Syria, they would have been gone. They're lucky I didn't have the button.
And that's one of those, I mean.
Am I wrong?
I mean, you talked about peace.
That's why I'm not the president.
I'm going to get into this. Can you talk about Vietnam? You're not allowed to kill women and children. And there were kids that had bombs strapped to them that had guns that were killing.
I know.
You can't. Well, that's the problem. There were Americans. Soldiers that were killed by kids, but we can't attack kids. That's why they did. Oh, we know that the soldiers are not allowed to go after kids, women, and children. Go to Chicago. You want to know who the biggest trafficker of drug on the streets are? Little kids. They'll have, here, take
Mom,
this little backpack.
Look at MS-13, the gang. You know who they get? They get you when you're 6, 7, 8 years old.
Oh, yeah.
They get you, and I've heard testimonies of the people who started the MS gangs who got out when they found the Lord. There's a Christian radio station that I listen to. And they got them when they were young. They went for the people with the boys with no fathers or no mentors.
Look at my sister when she was in Chicago. They would shut down the school. There'd be third and fourth graders having gang fights.
Exactly, Bob. That's the age that they started getting.
But that's what happened in the Vietnam War.
Chris, I'm in the middle, too. That's why we're having this discussion, because I don't want to feed the whole world, because realistically we can't, but I don't want anybody to starve.
Either, yeah.
Or, you know,
yep.
If you read the Bible and you believe in the Bible, this, we're not going to have a utopia on this earth.
Yeah.
And there's not ever going to be peace in the Middle East until he's about, until Jesus is about ready to come back. I'm not going to get into Revelation or anything, but I'm just saying. It
and
says
that,
it in Genesis.
And
those two are not going to be getting along.
And that's the problem, because you have a piece of land that the Shiites and the Sunnis have been fighting over, that plot of land in that part of that river for thousands and thousands of years. But one president, oh, I'm JFK, I'm going to stop. But they will, trust me, I guarantee you, I will get peace in the Middle East.
They have been saying that, and I will say, you know what? Ronald Reagan was my all-time favorite. I would just listen to his speeches, and you get so inspired. And I love the man. Okay, you want to see me bawl at his funeral? I was really bawling for Nancy because of what they put her through, what they put any president's wife through. Go to this state, go to that state, where they were born, where they died, where they were. It's a bit much and ridiculous.
Yeah,
but
my favorite president was Abraham Lincoln.
Well,
hearing his speech in Gettysburg.
Yeah, but anyway,
I wasn't there, by the way.
Every president has said, Reagan, the Bushes, every president candidate, Democrat and Republican, until recently, now they're all giving away free stuff. Recently, I mean, back in the day, the big thing was, I'm going to bring peace to the Middle East.
Yeah.
I won't raise taxes, and I'll bring peace to the Middle East. Well, now it's like, okay, we'll give you free stuff and tax you to death. But
yeah. I mean, because this is how bad it is. They're like, okay, this is why America needs to wake up. Because, okay, when Trump got into office, all those politicians looked like they were college students staying up all night, cramming for an exam. Our healthcare plan is going to be, dude, what was it, man? I thought you wrote it down. No, you didn't. No, I thought it. Okay, they had 8+ years, if they really cared about you, to have, this is our plan, this is the facts, that it will save money. It's going to basically be the same healthcare you have now, non-government control, but we're going to make sure that the medications are cheaper. That this, you know.
Truly, any
but they
politician is ever listening to us, you truly, 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 truly want to do healthcare a big solid for the people. Take it out of the insurance hands. Get rid of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Let the hospitals and let the doctors either A, set one set price, don't care if you're 20 to 50, this is what you pay. If you're a kid, I mean, you can set prices like that for this condition or that condition. Take it out of the insurance hands and the pharmaceutical, take the drugs out of the pharmaceuticals and put it in the doctor's hands or the people who are taking it.
Yeah.
Give them all the facts about it, though.
Yeah.
And see what happens to the healthcare system. Just a suggestion.
Well, this,
I don't know what
this,
I'm talking
this is,
about, though. So I'm not saying I do, but I'm just saying.
Talk to my doctor. What they do is they have a medical person. What he does is, okay, I'm going to get with CVS. Now I'm a barter between CVS and Bright Pharmaceuticals.
This is beyond ridiculous. Yeah.
Between Bright Pharmaceuticals and CVS. And I will get you those pills for 75 cents each. They're $1.50, but I'll get them for 75 cents. And that, in between, whether it's 75 cents, a dollar, whatever, that guy, that barter person, gets 50 cents a pill or a dollar, whatever deal he gets, and that money doesn't go to you, the consumer. It goes to the pharmaceutical company. No, it goes to this. Broke.
I know we got off on a tangent, but,
in
a way, yes, in a way, no. But I don't know. Is there an answer to my question? What realistically can we do about the people I mean, and we're not even going to talk about the Canadian border, who, okay, they don't come into Mexico. They can get go hitch a boat, come up to Alaska, and come up to Canada.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
That,
you know,
yeah.
Oh, you hate Mexicans? Okay, so if Japanese person comes from Mexico and sneaks across the border, he's Japanese. He's illegal?
Well, see, the thing is, honey, honestly, it's not really the Mexicans that's coming over from, well, you said Japanese, but from Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan.
Yeah, but when you think
of
illegal, show me a Democrat that when you're talking about illegals will think of anything but a
Mexican.
Exactly. You won't.
Exactly.
That's my point.
Right.
I said you could have terrorists come to Mexico, fly into Mexico City, and then work their way up into this country. And guess what?
Yeah. That's why I definitely support vetting people who are coming into this country, and why I want a 20-foot wall.
So if they haven't done anything wrong except for coming to this country illegally, what's wrong with that? What have they done illegally except for coming?
Let me go to Mexico illegally and see what happens. Let me go to Canada. I was like 14, 15 years old, and me and my mom and dad, my spring break or whatever. I was the baby. I got the spoils. We went to Canada, to Niagara Falls. My mom did not bring my birth certificate, and I did not have a passport. They told me and my parents that if I did anything wrong, or if a police or anybody asked to see my papers, my birth certificate and stuff, I would stay in the country until they went and got them and could prove who I was and everything. I would literally be in jail, the Canadian thing, until then.
Yep.
But yet, we have to let everybody in here.
Oh, I know.
What I'm concerned about is I wanted to bring like a 20 to 30 foot wall. What I'm concerned about is the people here that are starving. Illegal, legal, people need to eat.
Yeah.
People need clothes. People need to use the bathroom. People need things.
So what do you think about, I don't know, like a million plus Americans just storm the Texas border and start flooding into Mexico? What would they do if, like, wait a minute, these aren't Mexicans, they're Americans. There's like 50 million of them, and they're coming our way.
It'd be like South Park. Maybe they'll all go home.
I just had that flash in my head.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, just an FYI, folks, if you're tuning in, whether it's on Blog Talk Radio, you can click on the link. Or if you're listening via Facebook, we don't want to thank you so much for tuning in to my special guest.
But like, so we can see.
Can't tell who's on here at the end of my show, it says like I have 1,000.
I'm on my phone. I can see if my friends are on here or people. But, yeah.
Like I have like 1,000 plus that listen on Facebook. Not on Facebook, but on Blog Talk. And I have no idea who they are unless they call in. But I get a bunch of people on, like when I'm done, I'll say I have like 50 views, and I don't know who you are. So if you like or comment or whatever, thank you all so much for tuning in. But I want to get into this because this is hilarious. Facebook unleashes fact checkers on Instagram.
This is
going to be great because not only, I mean, you want to have unbiased. No, Facebook is not unbiased.
Honey, if you're going to talk about that, I'm going to go. I wanted to talk about the immigration thing. What do we do with the people that are here? Do we do what Bernie Sanders wants to do and give them all free stuff?
Well, that's if they come here. I mean, that...
No, you're not understanding. How many millions of them are there here already?
Oh, I was talking about the Guatemalan people that are expecting to come.
Well, I want to know. My question is, what about the people here already?
They should be sent back if they're illegal. They should be deported.
Until we can get all the planes gassed up and send them back and prove that they're illegal, what are we going to do? Defeat them to whatever. How? We're not, this country isn't just keep printing money. I mean, and.
But, like, there's no solution. Because I bet you 35% of California is all undocumented people that have no proof they're in that state. They have nothing. How are they working? How are they? And they've been there for 20 years. So how are they? What they're doing is what happened to a buddy of mine who, why are you taking a $1,000 paycheck and having $800 go right down to Mexico? We have a bank right here.
Tax that or stop that flat out. Tax that like 80% or whatever.
Yeah, and then that was, yeah, and when he went to the bank right around the corner that this person's company owns, that's when they found out that, oh, in Chicago, they have someone that's getting them real Social Security cards, and they're putting either dead people's Social Security numbers or unissued numbers. And these people are using them until that number gets found out, then they give them another card with a new number. So there's...
We just concluded that there is no...
Because you're going to spend money either way. Well, if you give them...
So I guess it's just which is the less?
Yeah, because look at the ITINs. That idea that, here, we're going to give you an ITINs number that's going to allow you to basically pay taxes. That sounds great, but when you had these Mexicans that were claiming 16 and 17 kids that didn't even live in the United States and they were getting $20,000 tax returns, that's the problem.
I chuckle because Dad always made me Mexican when we did the census and stuff like that.
And that's the thing. There really is no answer. How about this? We put the illegals on Obamacare.
It might not come if they find that out. But I mean,
I don't think there is an answer.
We can't see. We are reasonably intelligent American people, and look at all the politicians wasting their breath on this, wasting our money. The money that they waste investigating or campaigning, whatever, maybe they could come up with a solution. Find out what the cheapest solution is.
I think they go after it because, hey, it's one of those, like, this kind of things where, hey, we can, this is, there's virtually no answer to it, but, oh, we're going to find the answer. And that just keeps them spending 50 years.
Look, it's an issue that they can campaign on and keep our interest in. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think it's so that they can stay in D.C. and not really do anything. And, oh, we're working on this problem.
Be in D.C. for 50 years. I'm going to be done.
Like Bernie Sanders. I've been in D.C. for 50 years, but I'm going to be president now, finally fix something.
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear the trouble Biden is in? With China and his son and all that good stuff?
Well, I know, like, they did, like, a government contract or something.
Yeah, that's kind of illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's been going to Iran on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
illegal.
Oh, yeah. That Biden or Kerry? I know Kerry was doing that, too.
John Kerry. I think Kerry and Biden both have gone to, like, Iran on our behalf.
But, see, the thing is, and I've said this to you before, the Democrat Party today is not the Democrat Party of the past. My parents and most of my mom's family in West Virginia, and mainly it's because of unions, were Democrats.
Oh, I've never supported Democrats ever in my life.
Well, I mean, I can remember my great uncle. My mom always told me I couldn't talk politics or religion because when we went down there. But my great uncle Clifton comes up and he shows me this American flag tie. He goes, "Hey, Melissa, President Clinton sent me his tie. You know me. If it comes in here, it's coming out there.
Yeah.
What do I say? Well, Uncle Clifton, that ain't nothing to be proud of. Okay. I'm going to go to the woodshed. It was like, ooh.
At least it's not a used cigar.
Well, yeah, there is that. But, I mean, honestly, because he's my elder, I shouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah.
And I should have, I mean, you see, again, and I didn't know what I know now, that he really doesn't, he was buying all the bullcrap the Clintons were saying.
Oh, I guess I'm smart enough, I never bought any of it my whole life. I was smart enough to read.
This was before Hillary came out and said that they were going to, destroy all the coal mining, and I mean, they basically destroyed West Virginia.
But I guess that's why I've always been very into, I've never trusted any Republican or Democrat. I always thought they were full of crap.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess I've been lucky in that, that I've never been stupid enough to believe any Republican or any politician for that matter, period, no matter who they are.
Now, this is not this time, not the 16. The first time Obama ran, when Hillary ran against him, I had a cousin down in West Virginia say, I bet you hope Hillary Clinton gets the nomination. You can't wait for a woman to get in there. I said, first of all, if she gets it, there's no way I'm voting for her. And I honestly, you women, don't y'all get mad at me, but I know how we are. I said, I don't think I could ever vote. There's very few women. There's a list. I can list them on my hand. Very few women I would vote for as president. They honestly, to have your finger on that button, after 9/11, I would have blown up. Saudi Arabia, that whole area, it would have been nuclear. We wouldn't have been able to go there and get oil for 35 years or whatever. I would have blown them up so much. A man who can think logically, and yes, there's a difference between men and women, said, okay, first of all, we got to find out who did it. We got to find out how they did it. And we got to go after the right people, and we have to go about it the right way. Going up and blowing up a couple of different countries, what would be the right way? I don't want a woman, and call me sexist, I don't care. I know what my sex is. I know what your sex is. I know God made man and woman. He made us different for a reason. Okay?
Yep.
And we are to be the helpmate. That does not mean you get to boss me around and dominate me. No. That means you're the leader. I'm old school. My mama raised me old school. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. My cousin didn't know what to think about that. He was just dumbfounded that I thought I wouldn't vote for a Democrat anyway. That was a whole nother conversation. But yeah.
See, I've said this on the conversation before. I don't think I'll ever know the truth about 9/11.
No, that's not getting into that.
No. Because I've seen, like, okay.
You might know when we get to heaven.
Yeah. Because, like, I've seen a digital diagram. This is how big the hole would have been in the Pentagon if it was an actual commercial airliner. That would have been more done by, like, a tiny plane, if it was a plane. But there's, when you see photos of it, there's no debris, there's no plane debris at the site. So I don't know what happened. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know, but it's just one of those things. But I mean, you gotta sit there. Well, like today, I went to a gas station. Everyone, I'm going to borrow this as a prop. Everybody is sitting there. And every gas pump has a car in it. What's up, man? You know, I'm just saying, of course, the music's blaring so loud, I'm surprised their windows aren't shut. What's up, man? I'm just saying, you know what it is? Man, man, you should have went there last night. I'm like, I was about to knock on the window, man. If you ain't pumping effing gas, and I heard this voice, sit down. And I sat down. And as soon as I did, because I was about to go get an attendant.
Wait a minute. I talked over you. You heard what now?
I heard a voice in my head say, like, sit down. Like,
calm
down. the man upstairs. God. And he's like, sit down. And because I was about ready to go in and tell the attendant that, okay, why are there like 8 spots to pump gas and no one is pumping? And just about that time, one of those like clean, dry, you know, like Servpro kind of thing, that van left and I did a 180 and got in a spot. And then I had to wait in line for about 15 minutes while they're like, well, no, how do I sign up for this bonus card? Well, you can't do it. No, you have to go online or on the app. What? What's an app? But he was trying my patience. But okay, now I want to get into this really quickly. Now, okay. Since I've had you here probably longer than I expected, not that I don't want you, to leave or anything, because I want to get into some other stuff. But what do you think about Facebook unleashing fact checkers? You know, because they're so conservative. Like, do you think they're really going to be honest in their fact checking on Instagram?
Be honest. Mark Zuckerberg wasn't honest when he went before Congress to testify anyway.
Yeah.
There was one of the guys who he stole the company from, I think, or one of the main guys that used to work for them, said that the government needs, or maybe this is a story you're about ready to get into, that the government actually needs to get into regulating Facebook because they are...
The co-founder wants to have the government break it up.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah,
yeah.
I couldn't explain it that well, but yeah.
Yeah, and I mean... Well,
it'll
look
be
at
interesting to see what happens if he does.
Yeah, but look at when the government broke up Microsoft. When they did that, when Microsoft was a huge monopoly and they came in and...
I can remember Ma Bell when there was basically just one phone company.
Yeah, and you know what? When we had GTE in Indiana and we had like, oh, you need to have tons of companies to have competition, our bill skyrocketed after that. When we had GTE,
exactly.
It was cheap.
Yeah.
Well, what it is they monopolized. Okay, what we're going to do is...
Okay, we talked about immigration. We've come to the conclusion there is no solution that the government can fix. What problem has the government ever fixed?
They have increased the debt ceiling. They fixed the debt ceiling to make it taller, to add more debt.
Why can't they do that to the wall?
Why don't you?
I'm just saying. But I'm serious. What problem has the government ever fixed?
Never. They're not the...
If each person would take care of one other person, not in their family, maybe we could take care of each other.
Yeah.
See, that's what... You know who made the first hospital? You want to know who invented the hospital? The church.
Yeah.
You want to know who was doing a good job taking care of people before the government got in?
The people.
Church. Well, yeah.
Yeah, the people of the church.
But I will say this. The problem is people are going to be corrupt. So not everybody is going to be nice. Not every church person, priest, reverend, brother, sister, whatever
sister,
you want to call
brother,
them.
They're not
member
not
is going to be godly, I'll put it that way. So do we have no rules or no government? I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying we need to take care of ourselves and each other and other take care of our own, take care of people and not depend on the government.
Well, okay, like I've said this before, and I'll do this for the Facebook people live. Okay, you have a line on this. This is the Constitution right here. This is no government at all. You're free to do whatever you want. You can murder, you can kill, you can rape, you can do anything. There's no rules. There's no stop signs. There's nothing. If you go 1,000 miles an hour and slam into someone, I don't care. As long as your car works. Here is North Korea. The government tells you when to eat, when to crap. Here's your haircut. Here's the clothes you wear. Where do you want to be on that line? You want to be somewhere over here where you have some rules, but you're mainly looking after each other and taking care of each other. You want to have as little policies and rules as possible. Because look at, I mean, and that's where you want to be, because so many people, oh, I mean, Elizabeth Warren is coming out now. Oh, you didn't build that. You didn't do that.
Oh,
you had
goodness.
Help.
Yeah, that's what Obama said, too.
And yeah, Elizabeth Warren, we've had help in this country. It was called God. When they came
mm-hmm.
here, they didn't have mm-hmm. nothing. They prayed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm preaching. You got to have that. Da-na-na. All right. Welcome back to the Thursday night service. Who saved this country? God. God made this country right here, because when they came here, they didn't have anything. They prayed.
Well, they came here because they were being persecuted.
Yeah, for their
beliefs. Not every nation or whatever. And not everyone from England came for that exact reason. But that's why we stayed, and that's why they started this government. Because they were tired of being taxed to death, and they were tired of the government being in their churches.
Yep.
See, I can say this because I have went and studied. My dad, from the time I was 8 years old, I can remember, until, 16, 17, I have been from Canada to Washington, D.C., every Civil War and Revolutionary War, fort, museum.
Monument.
Yes.
And you
I know what
it.
The churches were like in England.
Yes.
They had these wooden pews. That's how pews, they had wooden pews. The seats were maybe that, just enough for you to sit, and the chairs were stiff because they had to sit back. They had people with long sticks. I can't remember what they called them. One end was a feather, and the other end was a hope, was a big, like on the end of a banister, piece of wood, like
mm-hmm.
a round piece of wood. And they would either, if you went to sleep, they'd either tickle you to wake you up, or if a kid or you were arguing or a teenager or whatever, they'd hit you in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And the government told the ministers what they could and couldn't preach.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, which king was it that left the church and started the Church of England? Because he wanted a divorce, Henry VIII.
Yep, Henry VIII.
Because he wanted a divorce and the Catholic Church wouldn't give it to him.
And that, I mean...
Like our pastor says, every denomination, every branch off of any church is because... Two people couldn't agree on something.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to be right. They wanted to be right over there and start a whole new thing.
Yep. And that's how it is. And then you find out that, oh, well, this church agrees with this. You know, there's like, and then that's the problem in this. And you have that, you know, we solve
problems. We have to, and... They are people who can help more than others and maybe should. There's a difference between you telling me to do something.
And me doing it.
No. And you asking me, or you saying, hey, can we do this together? If you're just going to, see, I've always been this way. If you're just going to say, hey, Melissa, I want you to do those dishes, take out that garbage, go do the laundry, and then sweep the floors. I'd be looking at you like you're cross-eyed. Or you don't tell me what to do. You say, hey, honey, I'm tired and my stuff, and I'm just like worn out. Can you do all this for me? And if I was physically able to, then yeah. You know. Or say, hey, honey, if we tag team this, if you do this and this and I do this and this, we can get this done.
I guess there's things that I'm from a restaurant mentality where it's expected. I shouldn't have to say anything. You should just know to do this and this and this and this. If I have to tell you, then you shouldn't be working here.
Well, and you have to think about it, though. I'm from this aspect, and where I go into a person's home, they have to tell me what they want to do because that's their home. I'm coming into their home. Think about someone coming in here.
I'm like, you can't see the mess.
Well, But, A, where do you want them to start? And where do you want them to do without all of it?
I want it organized by the barcode.
Come on. No, I'm serious. Be serious. No. Seriously. I mean, you have to tell people, and it's the way you, I mean, that's my biggest thing. With the government, I don't care, Republican, Democrat, you don't tell me what to do. I want to do what I want to do or what should be done. You know?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I know I'm stubborn and bullheaded, but.
Yeah, you are. But that's why I love you. Well, I got about 14 minutes left in the program, and I want to talk about this big time.
See you,
because.
Baby. Bye, guys.
Later. But what about, what do you think, I want to ask you a question, you can, but, you know, what do you think about the Mile High City, Denver, being the first city to legalize magic mushrooms? And and it's for a moderationable thing.
Well, I'm not a fan of mushrooms to eat.
Period.
Drugs where I'm not in control, you're talking to a person who, when they drank to get drunk. Didn't drink to socialize or I'll have a little sip. No, because my mama had me on a curfew. I had to have my flight and get home and be sober by the time I got home, or my mom would dump. And I did not want that. So, doing, if it's where I'm in a controlled environment and it's just enough, if it would help my fibromyalgia and my neuropathy, sign me up. But I don't want to get hooked on it, and I don't want
You can't get hooked on it. There's no addiction. Basically, it's been proven to people. There's a guy that uses it because he suffers from migraines and cluster headaches, to where he was on morphine. He was on fentanyl.
Okay, so which is worse, morphine, fentanyl, or the magic mushroom? I mean, you can get addicted to fentanyl and morphine. You can be addicted too much fentanyl or it'll kill you.
Yeah, but mushrooms, there's no addiction. And if you know exactly, he's had the.
And the thing is, what is addiction? Because when you're talking pain management, because if you're in pain, you need to take something for pain.
Yeah. Well, what they're saying is, okay, like, if I take those away, are you going to be like, oh, my God, are you going to, well, okay, I would put it like this. I want to make a comment to that, because would I say I'm addicted to pain meds? Yes, because without them, I can't function. Without them, I can't do. So I feel like, okay, I have a metabolic type muscular myopathy, and I run a support group. We have almost 700 people now. And you will not believe the stuff we go through. I've had severe vertigo. I've seen specialists where, okay, I am literally in the hospital. And when you get, quote, addicted, it's not addicted. It's like, okay, I could sleep all day and not get enough sleep. And I'm in so much pain and I'm so hurt. And guess what? I feel like a normal person when I take it. It's not about getting high.
Exactly.
It's about trying to be normal so I can do probably 50% of what my dad does, who's 70.
I'm going to come back in because I'm going to sit down. Well, see, and the thing is, though, with that, like you said, you're doing it for the pain. You're not doing it to get high. Some people just don't get that.
But like with the, when it gets to the magic mushrooms, it's all about moderation. It's not about, because that's the problem. Show me one video where someone's taking a fifth of vodka, downing the thing, and someone's going, how dare you? We need to ban alcohol because he's abusing it. No, but if a guy sits there with a $20,000 bong with 10 pounds of pot in it, lights it up, look at that, he needs to go, we need to legal, he needs to be in prison. He needs to be executed. How dare he use it?
I know. How many people die from drunk driving?
Well, that's because we haven't banned cars.
No.
I mean, hello?
But
I mean, that's the problem. If we ban cars,
well,
there won't be drunk driving. That's all I'm going to say. I'm
okay.
No.
See, I've lost my train of thought.
Well, I got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to
okay.
get in a little bit of a community, but yeah.
Okay.
It was nice having her on the show, and I do have a Kyle's Conversation page, and there is a PayPal link. I do this 100% out of my pocket, so like all my conversation, all my viewers all over the world, you know, this is all out of my pocket. I don't have sponsors. I don't have millions of dollars, people coming in. You know, I do this. All the equipment I have is used by me, fixed by me, jury-rigged by me, whatever the case may be, and that's what I am. I always think, like, what would MacGyver do to get this to work? And that's what you have to do in a restaurant, because in the restaurant business, you have to do that. You have to figure out, okay. So you have to figure out, because you're on a shoestring budget in most restaurants, but I want to get into the last little bit here, the last 10 minutes or so. Thank you so much for those of you listening on Block Talk Radio. I want to get into the last about 10 minutes or so on the English Premier League and my thoughts. It's the final game of the season. Manchester United is taking on Cardiff City. We could lose 10-0. We could win 10-0. It's not going to matter. When you look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the Manchester United team, and as we go into the transfer window, you know, he's talking about some players will not be here next year. I mean, what is he talking about? Is, you know, I look at it like this when it comes to the Cardiff City game, and I was watching the Manchester United, the United Stand, and I was listening to Mark Goldbridge, and he was talking, and he's like, and I have to agree with him. There's nothing, all it's going to do is change. If you get 15 goals when we beat Cardiff City, so what? So what? It's just going to change the stats. So what? It's not really going to change our season or affect our season. So what we got to do here, okay, you need to play some of the young players. We need to get Mason Greenwood playing. We need to get some of the players. Like, I want to see what you might be looking at for next year. I mean, if he plays Static Matic, if he plays Ashley Young, if he plays Phil Jones, if he plays, you know, a Lukaku, if he plays Pogba, it's going to be the same. If he plays Rashford, then I want to see, get some of the under 21 players. I mean, Mason Greenwood is dominating the under 21s. I watched a couple of those games. Incredible, the highlights. You know, some of the, he's dominating. Get him playing. Get McTominay out there. Get him playing. Get some of these other, if he plays the same crap players that are not caring about this team, that are not playing, that are not living to their potential, then I don't know. I mean, we've kind of found out now that I think Pochettino would have loved to have come to United, but here nor, you know, I think we made the right choice in Ole. The problem I have is I feel like we want to have nostalgic, okay? I loved Roy Keane. And one of the best, I love David Beckham. With David Beckham coming back to United to be a coach or a director of football, would that help the club? I don't think so. Oh, look, David Beckham's going to come back. If he wants to come back as an ambassador to the club and sit in the stands and, you know, and greet fans, and okay, but I wouldn't want him helping direct the club. We need a director of football that has prestige, that, okay, he's done this at Ajax. He's done this at PSG. He's done this at Juventus. He's done this at Barcelona. He's done this at Bayer Leverkusen. He can get great players. He knows how to find those 22-year-olds that are going to be Cristiano Ronaldo, or the next Thierry Henry, or the Zinedine Zidane, or Dimitar Berbatov, like one of my all-time favorite players. But that's the thing. If we're going to play the same static Matic people that we always have, you know, the Ashley Youngs, then we're done. We're done. I mean, I hope that he says, hey, I'm going to play these players. This is what I want to, you know, because you look, is Pogba going to leave? Well, Mino Raiola, I guess, I'm trying to find an article on it, but I'll probably do that for Tuesday. He is supposedly under investigation or something, and he's barred from doing transfers. So, like, the lot, he's, you know, a lot of his, you know, Paul Pogba is one of his players. They will not be able to do, he'll not be able to do deals. So I got about 4 minutes left in the program. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to the conversation. I hope you feel a part of, and to all those listening on Blog Talk Radio for the Premier League time. Thank you so much for tuning in. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of transfers we get. And if he, I mean, it's going to be a depressing season because he said some of these players are not going to be here next year. Well, guess what? If it's Ashley Young and Phil Jones going, okay. If it's Rashford going, okay. If it's some of these, if it's Static Matic, some of these players that are not holding their own, if we keep Sanchez, if we keep Sanchez and Ashley Young and Phil Jones and these and Static Matic and we play them over and over again, then it's going to be a long season. But we're going to have to just wait and see what happens and move forward with it, with this. And I'm excited for the summer, but I'm just hoping since it is Ole Gunnar, maybe we're going to get somebody better. Maybe we're going to get some different. But we need a director of football so that we know that we're spending money the right way. I mean, because I thought, okay, Zlatan Ibrahimovic was going to turn out to be better than he was. I thought we'd get 2 good years out of him. You know, Pogba really hasn't turned into the player I expected. Lukaku didn't turn into the player I expected. You know. So, it's not any fault of one person, you know. I mean, it's not like, okay, we got players that every player is a lump of coal or a diamond. You crack it open, and is there a diamond in there? There might be. There might not. You're not, you know, not every young player that's like a Cristiano Ronaldo is going to turn into a Cristiano Ronaldo. Some, hey, he dominates. I want to look this up for next time. There's a stat of how many baseball players hit a home run at their first time at bat ever in a major league, and after that, never hit another home run.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. And you would think, man, his first time at bat, he hit a home run. Sign him. Sean, he's going to dominate and never hits a home run after that. Just because they dominate maybe in the under-21s, they may get into the Premier League and just not be able to, you know, you're going to have to go to the Bundesliga or the French League and the Pub League and just, you know, and work your way through. You know, and find your style. So it's just one of those things that, you know, we live in this world where, you know, it's like they have this unfollow Manchester United movement with 90 seconds left. I'm like, well, yeah. And then when something good happens, see, I've always been a United fan, good or bad. You don't sit there and say, okay, I mean, you always love them. You do good and bad no matter where. I'll still watch a game. It may not be as exciting, but it's still, because you never know when they're. So I love my team, and I always will. And
having me on your show.
I want to thank my producer for having her come, because it was her idea. I never thought about putting her on the show, but I'm like, okay, so I got her on my show, and I want to thank her for being there and her views and her comments, and you know, and we don't always see eye to eye,
right.
But we want the same end result. Like I've said before, you have Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John McCain.
99% of the things you see, I die.
Yeah. But, like, okay, if it's a 100-meter dash.
But
well,
wouldn't it be fun if we did?
Yeah. You know, hey, who's going to get to the end first? Well, we need to go the opposite direction.
Exactly.
So remember, folks, with a firm reliance in the protection of divine providence, we reach you the pledge of each our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Till next Tuesday, thank you all, and good night, and God bless. Goodbye.